Good morning, everybody. I think I could have just kept on praising the Lord, man. Just sing the whole service. And well, I might as well, man, I'll tell you.
I get paid extra to go that route.
Yeah, I'll come help you. I'll have you help me do some things. How about that? That'll be the payment there. Well, praise God. You know, I went through a lot of scriptures this morning. I was really thinking on a lot of things. And you know, the Lord's good. And His love is complete. And it's right there for us. But we just need to receive it. It's up to us to really make that choice. And He's given us that freedom to make that choice. You know, I've been talking about electing Jesus as our God. I mean, that's something that we do by choice. He's given us free will. And He gave us the freedom up on that cross from this being bound to this flesh to serve Him. And even though we have this understanding of the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, yet what do we do with it?
We forget.
We do forget sometimes. We do. And sometimes we don't choose and elect God being our God, the Lord being our Lord. Jesus was that perfect example. He did nothing but what the Father told Him to do. And if we're going to be coming after Him, that is in His stead, we're going to be doing the same thing. We're called His body. And it's important. It's an important thing. So you can know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You can receive that forgiveness and grace. And it is only by His righteousness that you are saved. But we have that choice to follow. I mean, I can receive it, and I have done in the times past, have received that forgiveness, and praise the Lord, and hallelujah, man, and that bubble of there's nothing can touch you, but once that bubble pops and persecution comes and tribulation arises, I go, or I get offended at the word, I go, or my pride gets offended, out the door. But yet God still had mercy and grace upon me. And His sacrifice was still there for me. And He's good. So when we talk about Jesus Christ becoming our Lord and Savior, that part Lord is very important. A lot of us just want to grab it like a fast food service, go and get the hamburger, and then take off. Done. You know, you get that Baptist saying, you know, once saved, always saved. Well, I accepted Jesus Christ, now I can just go do whatever I want. And I'm not talking about legalism here, folks. I'm talking about making Him God of your life. And being in Him and in that body. And it all starts with making Him Lord and remembering where you come from and showing His love. And you can only do that. That's a choice you make. You can only do that by submitting unto Him and His ways. I mean, that's it. Let's go to John 15. You know, I was talking about David, I think, Thursday night. You know, David elected God to be his God. The God of Israel, he elected Him to be his God. And you've seen it in his walk. Over yet, time and time again. Lord, should I go up and fight the Philistines or should I not? Lord, should I do this or should I not? Now, David did make some choices without the Lord and went about his own way, listened to his flesh, just hopped right on board with the flesh and did what he wanted to do. And man, it turned very ugly for him. But the Lord yet still had mercy. And it was only by God's grace that he survived that. And the Lord's good. I think it was Paul last week, you know, it's a win-win with the Lord. I mean, you'd make Jesus Christ your Lord. He was talking in 1 Peter, and it's like, okay, you make that choice to follow him. You know, make that election sure. And when you choose him in the things you do, and you see how he just meets you, and you're just doing your order, you're just following his instruction, and then you see him meet you, man, it's a praise God, hallelujah. But when you fall and you go about your own way and do your own thing, and then you fall, and then you go to James chapter 1 and goes, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Because then your focus becomes back on Jesus Christ again and his grace and his mercy and his cross. And really that's all this is about. You know, the great commandment here, and we're going to talk about in John chapter 15, is really love God, love one another. Preach the gospel. What was the other command? The Great Commission. Preach the gospel. Go out in the world and preach the gospel. That's the biggest gift, man. What Jesus Christ did. We're coming up to Christmas time. The biggest gift was Jesus Christ coming down off his throne and coming, going to that cross, defeat the second dead, and was resurrected again. Because by our own righteousness, they're filthy rags. By our own righteousness, we cannot be saved. It is only by Jesus Christ, perfect walk, without sin, and him taking that sin of the whole world, that we can have a relationship with him and stand with him in eternity in heaven. I'm going to start in John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That it may bring forth more fruit. One, I don't want to become that branch that's taken away. I don't want you to be guys that got that branch that's not taken away. And the fruit he's talking about here is, what's that fruit? Love. And he purges it that he may bring forth more fruit. So if you're part of that and you start to see, you know, as that light, might get me ahead of myself a little bit, but as that light shines in your heart, you see we're like, that's not love. That's straight up selfishness, pride, hatefulness. That's not love. All right, Lord, thank you. I need that light. I don't want to stay in that darkness. I want to be shed from that. And we're going to hit on that a little bit later. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So see there, that's not... It's about what you submit to. It's about him. It's about his love. It's about his work that worketh in you. That brings forth the fruit. Without him, you can do nothing. So what do we have to do? Make him Lord. You choose him in his ways, and you submit unto him, and he does the work, and he just uses you as part of that body. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's interesting. I want to back up a little bit. It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered away, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, remember when we go back to, and I've said this before, unless you hate your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, yea, and your own life also, you cannot be my disciple, is what the Lord says. I mean, if you look at this concept here and what he's saying here, unless you abide in him, you're going to be cast forth and withered away. You know, I cannot love you, Brad. I cannot love you, Paul, Linda, my children, you guys, I can't love you unless I am preferring Jesus Christ first. Him first. Because I don't know how to love you. Not in this wretched flesh of mine. It hates God. It wants what it wants. And it's at enemy with God. And God is love. God is love. So I can't do this without Jesus Christ. But the scripture all says, I can do all things in Jesus Christ who strengthens me. In Jesus Christ, that's being in the body, that is submitting unto Him, making Him Lord. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you should ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's an amazing thing. That's a neat thing. That's a nice promise. Kind of like when Peter goes in Acts, you have Peter and he goes, there's a beggar sitting at the door and he goes, what did he ask him? He goes, you know, he's begging for some change. And Peter stands up, you know, silver and gold have I none. But in the name of Jesus Christ, arise up and walk. And he immediately got up and started walking. He could have gave some change to him. It would have lasted for a season. But he stood in the power of the Lord, and the Lord gave that man his ability to walk again. Now he can go and earn his own bread. And they glorified the Lord in all that. That's amazing. That's a gift. That's a gift of love right there. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you, have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, when we get down to the bare truth of things, if we get down to the bare truth of it, man, me laying down my life for Bran? Me laying my life down for Jeff? Me laying down my life for Paul? Me laying my life down for Linda? I mean, you get down to the bare truth of these things and it goes, yeek! Before I can't even begin to think that I have gone anywhere yet. You know, I mean, it's like, this is just the truth. It really is about preferring one another. And Jesus showed that as an example. not an example. He just took everything out of the cross. He is the way. You know, I mean, you look at Stephen. And Stephen stoned to death because of their pride. And he says, "In Jesus Christ whom you slew." And I'm, you know, I'd have to read the whole story again, but man, they were mad. He testified of the truth in Jesus Christ, and it pissed them off so bad that they got up and stoned him, killed him. I mean, it was an ugly thing. And as he was being stoned, he goes, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." And he's seen, and I know he went up with the Lord because he's seen Jesus Christ coming down. Seen those heavens open up, and he was going to go be with the Lord. Praise God. You know, that's love. That's love. And you're not talking about, I mean, they weren't even in the body. I mean, they were they were outside. They were trying to persecute the church of Jesus Christ. They were all about not that. I mean, they weren't even in the body. But, man, that's the thing that really turned some people around, turned some folks around. Not only that, the persecution after, and here's the other thing that happened when after the persecution of Stephen, what happened was the rest of the church said, scattered throughout the land, preaching gospel there. They didn't stay in Jerusalem anymore. It's really what God wanted. Go out through the world and preach the gospel. His word got spread out there. I'm getting sidetracked here. And I don't understand this perfectly. I don't have full understanding of this. But I know there's some things here that are very good. And there's some points here that I want to bring up. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Love God, love one another. That means that you can become Jesus Christ's friend. You can know Him. You can know His will. You can know His mind. And it starts by making Him Lord and submitting unto Him at all cost. There's a lot that's been shown to me lately of how much I lack in that. Very much lacking. And have fooled myself thinking I'm making these great strides, but come to the truth of the matter, not the case. Far from it. The things that irritate me, things that frustrate me, things that make me go, "That son of a..." If I had the mind of Christ or the love of Christ, it wouldn't be the case. Would not be the case. Would not be reacting in that emotional state. Might be reproving in the love of Christ, but not reacting in that emotional state. Where was I at? 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Again, if the world hates you, you know that it hateth me before it hateth you. Hated you. Look, you're going to be coming after. You're going to be walking in the love of Christ. People are going to hate you. They're going to hate it because their flesh is that enemy at it. And you know what? If we crucify the Lord in our sin and we were part of the world, guess what? When you turn over to Jesus Christ, you know what? They're going to hate you too. So when people straight up come against you, but the thing is not to give them anything to come against you with. I mean, they can say all manner of evil against you. Don't let it be true. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Be your focus on the Lord and what He would have you do. I mean, the Pharisees try to convince Jesus of sin left and right. They even try to call Him a devil. They even tried to say the works that He did and the miracles He did was from the devil. That He was straight up from God. You start walking in this love and in this power and in this mindset, it's going to be the same for you. I mean, what's it one thing you get convicted of being something that you already are? I mean, or being convicted of the evil that you are doing. So what? You did it. But if you're walking in that as Jesus walked, they come against you. It's going to be ugly for them. But it's not about it being ugly for them, because we just had the example of Stephen getting stoned. He was that type and shadow of Jesus Christ in that moment. But for them to turn over to Jesus Christ. Paul was consenting unto that. I mean, Saul was. Saul was consenting on that. He became responsible for most of the New Testament, man. Apostles of many churches unto the Gentiles. Well, that's some fruit there. If you were of this world, if you were of the world wouldn't love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. He's not hiding that walking with him, that you're not going to have any tribulation or greater tribulation than a regular person out there. He's not hiding that. He's saying, look, if they persecute me, they can persecute you. But what is it to just suffer a little bit of time in this world and be eternity with him? You know? My life is but a vapor. Gone. And not only that, just the fruit of the obedience and suffering wrong some, you don't know what that would do to somebody. You don't know what kind of fruit of love that would bring somebody to Jesus Christ. What does it say? They say sometimes preach the gospel and say a few words here and there. You know? But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. So, you know, I look at that scripture and I said, yeah, them freaking Pharisees. Man, those dirtbag Pharisees, I tell you, they just don't get it. Phil, do you get it? As that jacket falls off me. As Paul says, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, shoot. And then this is really where the point I wanted to get to. I mean, because it's so easy to read this and say, man, the Lord's talking to me about all this stuff. This is great. This is awesome. And then, yeah, them Pharisees, man, them guys over there. You know, and I'm going, hello, McFly. Have I been showing you anything lately, Philip? Yeah, Lord. I'm no different. You know, in the sense of this, When that light comes and shines upon your heart, when the true light of Jesus Christ comes and shines upon that on your heart, as far as showing all those blotches, all those dark areas, all those things that are not of God, and at some point convinced and justified in my mind that I was in right, but come when that light comes and then I come and see how wrong I am. That purging, remember I was talking about in the beginning, starts to occur. But the Lord loves me. He wants that light shine so I can get shed of that garbage, so I can be a more profitable servant for Him in bringing the gospel to other people. And I look at that and I go to 51 and I say, God, and I go to James 1 and I say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, I'm counting it all joy that I've fallen into this trap, because now I can see it and now I know I need You and Your mercy, and that Your sacrifice is good enough for me. In Your resurrection I can walk in, and I just repent of that old man. I repent of that garbage. I don't want it anymore. It's killing me. And it's doing no good for anybody else. I am being used as an enemy when I'm listening to that garbage. And I don't want to be used as an enemy. I want to be a part of Your body. And I'm sorry, Lord. Purge me. I don't want it no more. Whatever it takes. That's the prayer we really need to be saying. Lord, whatever it takes. You're good. You're good to me, and I didn't deserve it. And people need to know how good You are and how good You can be to them if they would just choose to accept it. How will they not know unless I go tell them about how awesome You are and how long-suffering You are and how merciful You are? They will not know if I'm bound up in this darkness. If I'm bound up in the darkened justification of whatever, bound up in this flesh, I can't see past my own freaking face. And that's just the truth. I want to go to Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians, I was in 2 Corinthians. I made that same mistake last week during the Hour of Truth. Hello, McFly. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am becoming a sound of brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You know, first of all, I don't think I can get to any of those places if I don't have charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's charity. Take your heart, look at that. Examine your heart, look at that. I fall completely short. Not easily provoked? Oh boy. Thinketh no evil? That's a big kicker for me, thinking no evil. I got some paranoia. Everybody's got some kind of conspiracy, I tell you. Quite frankly, I ain't that freaking important.
Or intelligent.
Paul, thank you for adding that. Let me Let me do that. Did I just not say easily provoked? Wow. Up here preaching, seeing the recognition of the shortcomings, huh? Amen. Praise God. He's good. I'm not. But I know that He didn't come and die on the cross for me to show me a better way just to leave me hanging. You can walk in this. Not in this flesh, only in Him, making Him Lord. Making Him Lord. And that light, what that light does is exposes areas in your life. And let me tell you, if the Lord all flashed it down upon you at one time, you couldn't handle it. That's why He says He purgeth it. Because He's a kind and loving Father, and He's not going to put you through anything more than you can handle. But there is a press, folks. Your life is but a vapor. There is a press. To be in that security and in belief in Jesus Christ. What does the scripture say? What do we do to do the works of God? Believe on Him and who He hath sent. Believe in Jesus and what He does. Make Him Lord and Savior. The Lord part, that's waking up every morning, dying to this old man and saying, Jesus, thank You for this day. What would You have me do today? The Savior part is, I'm a scumbag and I fall so short. But Lord, Your cross made the difference for me. What shall we say then? Nothing can separate us from that. That's a win-win. And as you're going forward and you make mistakes, you know you learn from them. And as you go forward and those things arise in your heart, you put them off. And you repent of them and you see them where you see where it's at and how that's rooted in you and say, Lord, I don't want it anymore. Take it away. And then when that thing comes up the next time, it's going to be so much easier because you know where it's coming from. You know the source of it. And you know how to just knock it down and stomp all over it. We sing that song, Make War in the Heavenlies. Casting every high thing down against the knowledge of Christ. Casting it down. Heaven is His throne. Heaven is His footstool. He's above all this stuff down here. It's all under His feet. Amen? And we can be in Him. And if we're in Him, we're above all those things too. Let's go to Ephesians real quick. And here's one really good thing. Well, I think it's Ephesians. Please be in Ephesians. No, it's Colossians. Where he says, I'm going to start at Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Or I'll start at 12. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He has done this. He has finished it. He has won the war. But we have that battle now to be in victory with Him. And He's given us everything we need. Our arsenal's full. He has given us that shield of faith. Let's start using them. He's given the power to us. He's given the grace to us. He's given the mercy. He's passed it over to His church because we are the body. Let's start using it. We let it go to waste. I know I do, and I'm guilty of that so much that it's not funny. I have gifts from the Lord. I have authorities across the board. Man, I have Paul, Ricky, Davey, Steve, Scott, Sue, Megan, Robin. And I have my brothers and sisters. I have you guys. I was naming off the ordained ministers. But they are gifts to me. I need to use them to get shed of some things. And it's amazing, man. I have so much frustration, so much aggravation. And I'm just feel like I'm stomped into the ground, lost. And I make a phone call to my brother, Ricky. And it's like, man, he pulls me out of that muck and pulls me right up out of it. Why don't I do that more often, ding dong? Why don't we? We have it right there. Or why don't I should say. I don't know what you guys do. Maybe I should know more of what you guys do. If this is walking in love, not about my business, I probably should ought to know more. But the Lord's good. And He's given us everything we need. He died on the cross. He triumphed victory over all things. Let's walk in that. Let's walk in that love. And it's just by choosing Him. He does the work. He'll be doing the purging. And I don't care what you're going through, guys. How ugly or terrible it seems. And all the ordained ministers, give them a call. As that purging goes on, you're going to need it. I know I did. And I do. I'm available. Paul's available. Brad's available. Use us. I don't know where has shortcomings all left and right. But it ain't about us. It's about the Lord. And what He has done. It's about coming together as that body. That's what it's about. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ and His love and His mercy. And becoming one and knowing Him and having a relationship with Him. That's what it's about. With that, I'm done. Thanks for listening.
You know, you have this sweet spot. You get on the path, that narrow path, that leads to God the Father through the straight gate. And over there on the side, you're on the path. Over there on the side, on one side, is fear. And then over there on the other side is pride. You get pretty pleased with yourself when you were hitting the mark pretty good there. And then you start shifting over to this pride. And it's ready to drag you down. You find something the Lord wants you to do, and fear starts pulling you off to the other side. Trying to agree with the enemy, who's running around like a lion, seeking whom he can destroy. You don't stay on that path without falling off on the side. You don't even get to the path until you're in a place where you know the Lord and are capable of receiving from Him what He wants of you. And then you have to agree every morning, Lord, I want to do what You want me to do. And then I need a compliant heart, a willing heart. And I need You to remove all of my excuses and infirmities and shortcomings that are reasons why I can't do what You want me to do. Help me to choose to shed myself of all that. Strengthen me to do that. It becomes a thing. You can't do that unless you know Him. You don't have access to Him if you don't know Him. You can't shake any of that off. I'm sitting here, you know, this morning I have no idea what I was going to talk about. And Brad starts singing a song, and I started having a real good time reading in 2 Samuel, you know, and then Philip gets up there, and none of that's what he's wanting to talk about, so I had to recalibrate. And Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of what he can righteously do to you, dead to rights, because you're guilty. You're guilty. Until you submit yourself to his righteous judgment and receive him as Savior and Lord, you don't know him. You don't know how to please him. You don't even know that you want it. You don't need even know that you need to and don't want to. And all that is in his grace and mercy, what he will reveal to you when you receive him. And if you walk in that, if you're moving down the path that way, then you are living in James chapter 4 and other places. Do you think, James 4, verse 5, do you think that Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Is God resisting you? You need to check your heart. But he gives grace to the humble. I need grace. And I'll tell you right now, whether you know it or not, you need grace. You need it. You need grace and you need mercy. Until you get it, God's resisting you. If you're constantly there, more pleased with yourself than you ought to be. Pride is our default position. We don't need suggestion or help or somebody to nudge us there. And God resists the proud. Not my words. That's down here. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Find out what he wants you to do. And do it. And let that please you. And when that pleases you, and he gets pleased with you, then things start to move. Humility is the switch that turns on the power of God in your life. Humility is that switch. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That thing you were fearing, when you just say, I'm moving on anyway. Lord, I'm gonna do what you want me to do anyway. You stake that step of faith and resist the threat, the terror, the temptation of the enemy to freeze you stuck because you give in to fear. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He'll flee from you, won't bother you anymore. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. If then, draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto you. Nigh unto you. Same thing. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You can't do it your way and his way. Doesn't work. Your mind has to be totally given to pleasing him. And it's not. You wake up in the morning, it's not that way. You have to choose to make it that way. You have to want to please him. You have to want to know what he wants you to do. And then to go do it. Both to please him and to do it well to please him. Be afflicted, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And when there's lifting up necessary, he'll lift you up. When there's honoring to be done, he'll honor you. When glory is due, he'll give you glory. But if you stop seeking that for yourself and let him handle it, When you're pleasing him, then he's going to look for ways to please somebody whose heart is committed to pleasing him. And it doesn't come naturally. You have to train it to be that way. You have to force it. You have to choose it. You have to force yourself to make a decision to choose to do what pleases him. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know, that's the promise that really ends this thought. And this is a good thought. We need more grace. The fear of this Lord is beginning a knowledge. And the more you know him, the more you know how to please him. And then it becomes a choice. What are you going to do it or not? Choose the right thing. Choose to do it today. If you need help with that, come see one of us.